I do want to wish you happy birthday, by the way. Nothing personal there. 12th chapter. Talk to you for a few minutes here about Christ's ministry. He started here, and he had been doing things that was driving these Pharisees nuts. They couldn't take it. He had eat corn on the Sabbath day with his disciples, and he'd healed a man's withered hand on the Sabbath day, and they got all mad about that. And they got so they hated him. And they took counsel that they was going to destroy him. And so he withdrew himself, and he's fulfilled the prophetic. Isaiah prophesied that when the Messiah come, that it would not be like they thought it would be. How many knows that God's ways are higher than ours? We don't understand always. And so the Jews thought, when you thought of a king, how would they have thought? They thought of David, King David, King Solomon. Somebody could ride a white horse, you know, and had a sword and could fight and lead an army. Well, when their king came in a little manger in Bethlehem, of all places, smallest little city in the district, and he came just as an humble child, and then he came, the Bible said in these scriptures that we've already just rehearsed a little bit, he prophesied and said it would not strive nor cry, neither his voice would be heard in the street. Now what that means is he won't come as a rebel rouser and a soapbox man proclaiming, you know, but he'll come gently, not like a lion, but as a lamb. He'll be humble and tender. And it says he shall a bruised reed he shall not break. Humble. The spirit of Christ. And you know, I'm going to tell you, we're not Christ. But if we look into this perfect law of liberty and we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, if we behold that long enough, then we become like him. Not him, but like him. His attributes and characteristics. And I'm going to tell you, one of those great characteristics in Christ on earth was he was humble and tender, and he wasn't a sissy, but he was a kind man and humble and compassionate. He'd see people broke down, and you know, really, that's what this world needs. They need to see Christ, that Christ loves them, and he died for them. Yes, he is going to judge them, but it's not judgment time yet. He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, our lesson today, as we move into this, there was a man brought to him in verse 22. Let me read verse 21 real quick. I love verse 21. It says, "And in his name shall the Gentiles trust." Now, this is a wonderful scripture. How many Jews do we have in here today? I don't mean in your trading capabilities. I mean in your nationality. No Jewish people. So I guess we're all Gentiles here today. Amen. So Christ came that the Gentiles could trust in his name. How many this morning are trusting in the name of Jesus Christ? Jesus was a Jewish man, but he was God Almighty. Amen. And so we put our trust in Jesus. And there was brought unto him one possessed with the devil. You know, we don't talk a lot about that in this day. But, you know, Satan still has the power, and I don't want to magnify him beyond his place, but he is a very powerful enemy. Now, I've seen people that did not have enough faith even to believe in the devil, but now the devil exists, and he has power. He has the power to put fear in people's lives, and in this situation, and as we study this scripture, we'll even read where that the devil when it can come into people's lives and feel at home in their lives. That's on over in the lesson. But I'll tell you, I don't want the devil to feel at home here. Do you? And I'll tell you how, and you know, as you'll see in these scriptures that I'm getting ready to teach to us here, there is no neutrality in this. How many understands what I'm saying? You have to, it's your choice now. You do have the freedom to choose, but you're not really free. You either serve one or the other. Amen. If you think there's a middle ground, there's not a middle ground. You're either, Jesus said it in our lesson, you're either for me or against me. You can't choose. You can't be like, I've told it many times, the story I read about the boy that did not want to be involved in the Civil War, so he got a Southern jacket and Yankee breeches, and he said, I'll just not be for either one. And you know what happened to him? He got shot at from both sides. You can't be neutral. You'll be destroyed. Now, they brought this man that was possessed of the devil. The devil had his life, control in his life. And I assume, Brother Mark, by the result of this, that he was blind and dumb. And that, you know what, he couldn't speak, dumb. He couldn't speak. He was blind, couldn't see, and he could not speak. And so the Bible said this one was brought to Jesus, and he healed him. He healed him in so much, he healed him in a way that the man that could not see began to see. And the man that couldn't talk began to talk. How many believes that? And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Now they could not hardly, you know, they were looking at this. And when they gave him the word of the son of David, that was a compliment. They loved David. And so, is not this man the son of David? Is this the promise that we're been going? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, now here, look, one crowd saw the miracles and it affected them in a positive way. Is this not the son? Is this not the Messiah? Is this not the son of David that we've been looking for? But the Pharisees didn't take it like that. How many knows what the Pharisees said about it? The Pharisees said, you know how this man's able to cast devils out? Now, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But, you know, there's a lot of things that don't make sense. This did not make any sense for them to say this. But they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devil. They had put this big name of Beelzebub on the devil, Lucifer, Satan, the main devil. And he said, he cast him out by that. Now, does that make any sense? That the devil, the prince of the devil, would cast out the other devils? It don't make any sense. And the Lord brought that out, and he taught some good lessons. Amen. You know, there's something about, well, let me read, and maybe we'll get into this. Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. And he said unto them, boy, I wish I could preach to you this morning. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. That was the first word that he used. Every kingdom. Now, he's getting ready to explain to them why that he cannot be the devil. He was defending his position. He said, now, every kingdom, now I want you to notice when he brings that up, amen, that he is letting us know that the working of the devil is a kingdom. There's war. How many knows the devil is at war with you? You know what? You know something that he is so jealous of Christ, and he is so exalted himself above God. He is so jealous of God's glory that he cannot take it when you praise the Lord, when you honor God, when you deny the flesh and live for God. That the devil can't take it. He cannot take it when you resist him. The Bible said when we resist him, you know, I don't want I don't want my children to grow up. I didn't want my kids to grow up thinking that the booger man was going to get them. Because, amen, Jesus wasn't going to let the booger man get them. Somebody say amen. Oh, I wanted them to respect the devil's power and authority and to realize that without Christ in their life, that the devil would have his way with them. You're not big enough to fight him off yourself. But with Christ, I'm going to tell you, Jesus cast the devil out. They knew him very well. They knew who the Son of God was. They were in opposition to him, and they knew they could not defeat him. They knew. That's why when he came up to those demons in Legion, they asked him to let them go here or there. They knew he had the authority that wherever he said go, they would have to go. And I want to preach this to you this morning. Amen. If you, some way or another, the first thing you need to do, if Satan, amen, is controlling your life, if he's controlling your mind, if he's controlling your actions through the day, if he has put fear in your heart, if he has control of your waking moments, amen, I want to tell you to humble yourself in the presence of God. If you'll submit yourself to God and resist the devil, amen, then he will flee from you. Amen. Come on now. But we've got to surrender to him. We've got to surrender to Christ. For Christ, amen, came in opposition to the kingdom of the devil. Now, I want us to look at this, amen, this wonderful lesson that the Lord teaches about the kingdoms being divided. Amen. You know, we've got how many knows this morning, if we're going to win this battle in this kingdom, we have got to be committed to the right side. Amen. And we've got to be committed wholeheartedly with all our heart, mind, and strength. We cannot continue to enjoy, amen, the pleasures of that evil kingdom and pick and choose and pick out the nectar and leave the briar. You can't do that. Amen. The Bible said, amen, that there's pleasure in sin for a season, but it has a horrible payday and a horrible retribution. And men and women's hearts are hardened, amen, through the deceitfulness of sin. So if Satan's going to be defeated, amen, we have got to get on the side of Christ. Amen. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Now, Abraham Lincoln used this scripture when he, I think, in the Gettysburg Address, wasn't it? And he said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. He got that out of the Bible. Now, I could use this scripture right here for a few minutes to teach this lesson he mentions a city right here and a house. We could narrow it right on down, couldn't we? We could put it right in, down to the job, the marriage, the church, divided against itself. You know, how many remembers in the upper room, one of the characteristics of those people? Now, a lot of times we quote it and say they were in one mind, but I don't think it says that, does it? Huh? Minds like this? No, it says they were in one accord, one place. They were in one accord. Now, I'm not good at music. I'm not. I can tell. Sister Debbie, as poor as I am, I can tell if you're playing in G and Sister Sheila's in E flat. I mean, I don't know what key it is, but I would know right off that somebody is not right. I remember a lady over in Saltville, I was singing one time. I told her to give me a key of G, and I started singing an old one of them old shouting songs, and couldn't hardly get it, G, so I just went ahead and switched to C. I didn't tell her, but I did. She noticed it. It embarrassed her because everybody kept listening to me, Lord, out here, and her, and they kept looking at her and made it look like she didn't know what she's doing, but really the guy didn't know what they're doing was right here. So as I went out the door, she met me at the door. She had a little tightness in her jaws right here. And she's gritting her teeth and speaking only with her lips. She said, next time you say G, would you do me a favor and sing in G? And I said, I'll try my best. I couldn't guarantee it because, you know, you just got to do what you can do. Because, you know, it caused discord, and discord brought everybody's attention. You know, that's the way it is in church. You get, you know, the church is kind of like a little kingdom. It's kind of like a little house, like a little work together. That's why gossip in a church is, you know what the Bible said about the tongue? It was set on fire of what? Somebody say it. It's hard to say. Say it. Hell. You ever hear of any good thing come out of hell? No. That's why that. That's why the Bible said God hated. He hates those that sow discord among the brethren. Because, you know, you get to pull them together. You ever get out on the job and people get little snickety jealousy spirits and get to nagging at each other and backstabbing and getting and trying to pull each other down? Do you get anything done? Not much. You don't enjoy yourself much either. You got to have, how about a marriage? Huh? You remember Brother Ralph Cox telling about, I'll be done here in a minute. Somebody crank the air up. We're going to have to put these people to bed if we don't. Huh? But it's too warm in here. We're going to fall out in the floor. Hallelujah. Somebody help me preach a little bit here. You remember Brother Ralph Cox talking about the man and wife get to arguing over everything? Hey, is that a spirit that gets on you that makes you want to argue? I mean, is it? You ever get to fussing about something and it causes a disrupt in the whole day and you have to suffer for a week over it, and then you wonder, what are we fuss about? And you say, can't remember. It's like that man and woman that got to fussing over something had been cut, and he said, that looks like it's been cut with scissors. And the other one said, no, I think it was shears. And the lady said, no, I'm pretty sure it was scissors. No, you don't know. You don't know. It was shears. Well, you think you know everything, but this time you're wrong, buddy, and it was scissors. Am I boring you? Listen, sounds familiar, don't it? Huh? They got so mad, they went out. He took her out in a boat, put her in a sack. And he said, I told you, woman, it was shears. And he looped her in, and she poked her arm out that sack and done this right here. She went down. I know you don't believe that, but at times people get argumentative. And you know what, a house divided? You ever seen a mom and dad? A little dad say, don't you do that no more. You can't do that. And he runs, Mommy. You're okay, darling. It'll be okay. Daddy's just in a bad mood. You might as well put dynamite under the porch. If you're going to disagree, I mean, and you're going to, my Lord, have a business meeting or something and get it ironed out and let your children see you've got a unity of huh? Pay you later. These amens are getting, you ain't got to pay for them anymore. If you get one, you want to pay up. Amen. Huh? Jesus put a great lesson, and Abraham Lincoln used this when he was talking about the North and the South. And you know, I know we got some Yankees here, so I won't get into that war, but I think it's over. Is it over? Yeah, it is over. Yeah. But, you know, really, I love America. Amen. And I'm glad that we're one nation under God. Aren't you? Amen. And, you know, you come to the church, and brother, the worst place in the world to be divided is at church. And it ought to never be. You know, people comes around always looking for something to disagree with. Now, brother, we've just about healed them of that here, because we give them so many things to disagree with to get wore out. Huh? But I'll tell you, if you come to church with that old spirit of division, you know what the Bible said? It is going to be desolate. There's no city, there's no government, there's no house can stand that is divided. Now, I took that occasion of the devil there to mention this. And really, oh, how sweet and pleasant it is when brethren and sisters dwell together in unity. Amen? Amen. We got to be together. We have so much in common. Why can't we just concentrate on the common things we have? Amen. That we can, hey, we all had a common curse. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all been there. There's no need us looking down our nose at one another. Amen. Because we've all been right there. And we have something else in common. We have a common Christ. Amen. There's one cure for all. All of sin, and there's one cure for all. Every one of us that are saved here, amen, have the same Savior. And how in the world can we not get along? Somebody calm me down. I'm about to get beside myself. How can we not get along when we have a common Savior? When we all of us love the Lord, He's redeemed us. If we're redeemed, right? And we get up and sing. In the service, it don't matter who's singing. If they're living right, you know, they're not hypocriting around, amen, then we ought to just say, I'd just soon see them go over as go over myself. And we pull together, amen, and head toward the same goal and the same, amen. And so Jesus was telling them, using the rational thought, a house divided can't stand. And he says, you know that if I was the devil, I wouldn't be casting out devils. And then he pulled one on him. He said, what about your children that cast out devils? Are they of the devil?
Now that's a different story.
How many knows the story changes text when you put your name on it? He said, and so he kind of had them. Let me read some more here. I'm almost done. The lesson today, amen, is Christ, amen, letting him know that he was not of the devil, amen, and a house divided against itself cannot stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, then he's divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? If I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. They could not deny the fact that it was, amen, acceptable to cast devils out. And he said, well, your children are doing it. Look at some of these. Look at these disciples. They're your children, and they're casting out devils. Are they devils too? Amen. Help me preach a little bit this morning. And so Christ turned it on them. He said, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. Here's the key right here. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. Brother, he put them to the test. He said, if I'm casting them out by the Spirit of God, and he was, then you're going to have to admit, amen, that the kingdom of God is coming to you. Now, I want to ask my church here this morning that God has given me to pastor. I want to ask you, amen, has the kingdom of God come to earth? Have you seen God move? Have you seen God, amen, destroy the works of Satan in your lifetime? Have you seen men born again? Have you seen women healed? Have you seen the lost come and get saved? Then we have to admit, amen, the kingdom of God has come to earth. Hallelujah. How many believes that here this morning? Can't deny. There's a God in heaven. Amen. And he's right and true, and we owe him our whole lives. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm almost done. Listen to this. Or else, how can one enter? I love this right here. How can one enter into a strong man's house, spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then spoil the house? There it is. He's likening this. I'm going to tell you, I feel this in my heart this morning. We have got a job to do. Now, what the Lord is saying here in an illustration, you go into a strong man's house, Brother Jeff, big muscle builder, big guy, hard worker, and you go in there and start carrying out his stuff, him standing over. Grabs you by the shirt collar. Hey, shrimp. Yeah. What you doing? I'm spoiling your stuff. He beat the tar out of you. So first thing you got to do, if you're ever going to think about spoiling his house, you better do something with the strong man first. Or at least wait till he's out of town or something. Huh? You don't go in his house and just, hey, that's the way the enemy is. The things that you and I see in our lives, the turmoil that he's causing. We've got to get the devil out of our lives. Listen to me now. We've got to get the devil out of our personal lives if we're going to spoil, amen, the kingdom. We're ever going to get anybody saved. If we're ever going to get those works of the devil out of our life, amen, then we're going to have to spoil the strong man, amen, or bind the strong man and spoil his goods. I would love, amen, to make as much trouble for the devil as I could. Anybody else? I like to make as much trouble for the devil. You say, well, you better watch. I may have told you about one preacher. I got to preach in a meeting one time. The Lord, he just come on and help me. It just surprised everybody. And I was sitting up on the platform and resting, and I was daubing the sweat, and this preacher come over and sat down by me, Brother Mark. And he said, oh, brother, God blessed you special today. I just dropped my head, I know it. He said, but you know what? A lot of times when God blesses you like that, the devil's getting ready to jump on you. And I said, you know something? You're the second person who's told me that already. Really? I said, yeah, the devil told me that just before you come up here. That was mean, wasn't it? You say the devil will get you. I tell you, if he could have, he would have already. You hear me? He'd drag you off by the hair of the head right now. You know the reason he's not is because of Jesus Christ. You quit serving the Lord with all your heart, he's going to drag you into sin and make a fool out of you. You hear what I'm saying? That's why you've got to be committed to Christ. Amen, because that's the only way to bind the strong man in your life and spoil his goods is to have Christ reigning in your life. That's the only way. Other than that, you say, you don't know I'm a good moral person. You probably ain't near as good as you think you are if you're not serving the Lord. Amen. If you're not serving the Lord, the devil's going to find him a place to rest in you. And when the devil moves in, brother, it's havoc in your life. Amen. Stand with me. God bless you. If you'll get off and think on this, amen, you ever been asleep and somebody come in and tell you something and you wake up and wonder if you dreamed it or not? That's the way it'll be this morning. You'll wake up about noon and wonder if you dreamed that about the devil. Well, it ain't a dream, friend. It's the real thing.